Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Football Sunday. Nice to have you with us here today. It's Christian Arkant and, well, almost said Andy Hart. We'll be talking to him a little bit later on. Tommy Curran's supposed to be joining us. Although, is there some sort of, is this like April Fool's Day? All our guests are punking us today? Is that what's going on?
Nobody likes us anymore.
Doesn't seem that way. Anyway, lots to talk about with Tommy Curran if and when he joins the show. However, Mego, right before we went on, you brought up a name, and if we say it two more times, he may appear in this room. But Mac Jones, who is definitely getting the start today, is that right?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
The latest report was Trevor Lawrence is unlikely to start on Sunday.
Okay.
And even the odds, the bookmakers have Mac Jones as starting quarterback.
How do we feel about McCorkle Jones getting another shot as a starter this week?
I can't wait to bet against him.
I want him to win this game. I want him to go out and have a moment for himself. You can't even give him a moment.
Absolutely
you can't
not.
Give him
I hope,
a game.
I hope the
You're
Vikings...
You're so disgusted by him that
yes.
you, when it's
beyond
another
even more
game
than you could think.
Completely unrelated to
yes.
the Patriots, you just want him to fall flat on his face.
I hope the Vikings win 40-3. And he has three interceptions.
All right. Well, that may happen. Anyway, joining us right now on the hotline, your friend and mine, Mr. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, pre and post, also the halftime show. Tommy, how we doing? Do we have him? Oh, no. Hold on. Let's
you gotta bring him onto
let's
the
go
show,
ahead.
Buddy.
I thought I did. Let's go ahead and pot him up there. Tommy Curran, how we doing?
I am still good.
Ah, right. Much better.
Still tremendous. Good to hear you, Christian. How's everything?
Everything's great. Nice to have you on here with us today. The trade deadline very quietly kind of came and went this week, Tommy, and I feel like we talked with you, Andy and I did, and I don't remember asking you many questions about this, but now that we have a second opportunity to get information here, it seemed like there was a lot more interest in Patriots players, in the Patriots maybe reshuffling some of their, not top guys, but bottom of the roster guys at the very least, and none of that really happened, other than the Uche trade. That was basically it. What do you make of that?
The Patriots have one of the worst rosters in the league. Teams do their due diligence because they have nothing but time on their hands if they're involved in the personnel departments. So if somebody's in charge of calling every team, they're going to call the Patriots. The Patriots are going to say, you want somebody? Well, you can take them. And then they go back and they say, do you want to get KJ Osborne? And they go, can't he play for the Patriots? And then they say, well, he's not that good. And then they say, all right, we're not trading for him. So that's my synopsis of the trade deadline.
Because the roster is so bad, I'm not even going to ask more about that. I want to ask you about something that Gerard Mayo said a couple days ago. He said that he's expecting to make a big jump from year one to year two. That's when the best players make that big jump. So he's expecting that from himself as a coach. What would a big jump look like to you for him as a coach?
That's a good question. Requires a little bit of thought. I'm going to do it on my feet.
Okay.
I think let's start with what would it look like at the podium, which is in one sense the least important and in another sense the most important aspect. To your football team, it might be the least important. To the brand, it could be the most important. So he needs to get more coherent with his messaging, more comfortable with how he is going to discuss the goals of the team, less ambiguous, more specific, be transparent when it serves you well. Don't be transparent if you don't really have a functional answer for us. So I think that's one step forward. Additionally, I think that he needs to make sure his lieutenants are doing the best jobs they possibly can. And I think in his first year as head coach, he has been saddled with, and he took the job. Anybody could have been saddled with it, a lot of first-time, first-year head coaches who are just meeting each other. So you have a chemistry issue that those guys have to work out, and you have to figure out how to work with them. So anybody who didn't work this year, meaning gel, move on from them. If your wide receivers did not develop in the way that you thought was designed and appropriate and what they should have, move on quick. Don't wait for another year and say it might get better in year two, because everybody won't get a year three if it's bad again next year. So those are two key spots. And then thirdly, I would say they've been tough enough in terms of asking guys to do things at practice. I think that personnel and Gerard should raise the bar for expectations of professionalism from the players on a day-in, day-out basis.
Tom, this rushing attack has been atrocious now for a few weeks. Do you think that they made a concerted effort this week to really prepare the running game against a team that gave up, you know, over 200 yards on the ground to the Cardinals last week in order to take some of the, you know, asks off of the plate of Drake May?
Yeah, that's huge today, because the Bears have one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. They have one of the most talented defenses in the NFL. They are a top 10 defense, but that would be the place that you can maybe make a little bit of hay. So you, as we have seen, Drake May has quickly become the default answer to everything. And offensively, you can't ask him to do that again this week against a team that's very good at, you know, defending the pass. So what will that look like? How much better will it be? You can try as hard as you want, and I know you understand this, Shane. Everyone does. If you just don't have the people to compete, it's going to be hard. I mean, to see Mike Nwenu move to left guard this week is such a shining example of, we just have one offensive lineman and four guys who are playing in those spots trying to keep it safe. And that's just not a way to live in the NFL.
We're talking with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, two rookie quarterbacks playing today. What are the pros and cons? We all know how the Patriots did it with Drake May. What are the pros and cons of preparing a rookie quarterback the way Chicago did with Williams, the players they brought in, the coaching changes that they made or didn't make? How do you feel that's going for them, and do you think they're on the right track?
Boy, that's a good question. Look at the way they developed really granularly. They were the worst team in football in 2022. They did beat the Patriots 33-14 that year. But they were the worst team in football, and they were able to manipulate it so that even though they improved in 2023, they made a deal with Carolina to have the Carolina Panthers first overall pick. So they kind of threaded the needle to improve at multiple spots, whereas the Patriots are bad everywhere except they've found the quarterback. How often do we see that work? The Colts, twice. Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Joe Burrow, to an extent, although there were some good players there already, but they found the tight end the next year. So there's pros and cons to each way of doing it. I think the Bears, to me, is the more organized way of doing it. You can set expectations. You don't put too much on a player and break him, a la Bryce Young or Sam Darnold with the Jets or any other number of guys. But I do like Drake May's makeup. So if you're going to put all the team and franchises and region's expectations on one player, I think May is the rare guy who has the shoulders and brain to take it.
So on that front, T.C. McCartney, quarterback's coach, this week he talked about Drake May's processing a little bit. Are you surprised by the level of processing that you've seen, and how has that developed from when we first saw him in the Houston game, where we were just talking about off air, Shyam and I, just like or it might have been on air actually, the jitteriness that he showed in the first half of that game, missing some looks, to where he is now in the season?
I am totally surprised by it. I am totally impressed by it. I did not think he was going to be somebody. He did not play very smart at North Carolina. That wasn't his brand by any stretch of the imagination. They were a 7-4 team last year. You'd see him start kind of Farvian, a little bit too geared up at the beginning of games. His accuracy wouldn't be good. There were times when I talked to Chris Sims this week, listened to the Pat's Talk podcast. He and I both agreed. There were times when May would seek off-platform throws when it was right there for him to make a nice fundamental step into a throw, and he'd start wandering around. he does less of that now. His decision making, and I'm looking at that at North Carolina. If you're doing those things, those are bad decisions. Just make the simple throw in front of you. But now you don't see him wandering. He waits it out. He does run plenty, but he waits and is in position to throw the football the entire time instead of wandering around with his, you know, hips open and everything facing down the field and then flipping it like a shortstop. It's just so much better. So impressive.
Tom, since the loss of Juwan Bentley, this run defense has not been good. Is there any way we stop DeAndre Swift today, or is he just going to kind of like cure all of the Chicago Bears offensive woes and make the Patriots look bad again?
They're probably going to get what they want when they want to get it. There's just no way the Patriots, you know, they can do it in fits and starts, Shime. They can bow up in fits and starts. And isn't it interesting? They actually usually come up with like a negative run or a
multiple times.
Run. But then they'll get gashed.
Yep.
Because one guy beats somebody. And I think that's, you know, probably when they talk about the discipline of the defense and guys freelancing and doing things for themselves, that's probably part of the issue for them. They know that they don't have an overwhelming amount of talent. So there's sometimes when guys say, you know what, I'm going to try and do this myself. And it's going to work. Eventually, you're going to make a play, and it's going to result in that. But on a down-in, down-out, five-fingers-in-a-glove kind of movement for this defense, which the Patriots were so great at from 2000, really, even to 2010, and then again in the latter half of the last decade, that's what you have to have, is that you don't even have to look. You know how Teddy Bruschi is going to react to whatever Mike Vrabel does, or how Dante Hightower is going to react to Gerard Mayo, or any of that. That's, to me, is you have to get to that spot, and they've had too much turnover, and especially with no Peppers, no Duggar, no Bentley, it's just, it's the heart of your defense, no Barmore. It's the heart of your defense, so it's not a surprise they're getting gashed, and when you look at the offensive line, it's not a surprise they can't run the ball. If you can't do either of those things, I mean, don't you think that Chicago must look at the Patriots and go, look, we sucked last week, but we're not them. And that's what probably the Titans did, and that's what probably the Jaguars did. I mean, they have Drake May, but otherwise, they're still down to the studs here.
We're talking with Tom E. Curran. You mentioned Gerard Mayo. Earlier this week on the Patriots Talk podcast, Jason McCourty said that if these players on the team like Gerard Mayo, they should all stop yapping so much, basically, in the, you know, so many words. Is that a message here? Because we talked to you earlier in the week, Tom, about where do you sort of go from here if you're Gerard Mayo? Can you keep these guys motivated? Are they starting to realize that their behavior reflects badly on him? And do they like him enough to sort of abide by that?
I guess it's a case-by-case basis. You know, you remember 2000 when the Patriots, and maybe some people don't, it is 25 years ago, so I'm relaxed. But if you think back to 2000, Bill Belichick's first year as a head coach, they went to Buffalo. It was a snowstorm. Ty Law, Troy Brown, and I can't remember who else decided that they didn't want to fly home and they wanted to drive home. Well, they didn't drive home immediately. They went across the border to Canada, partied all night, went to a casino. They got stopped coming back over the border.
Right.
Okay, Ty said, it's the ecstasy that was found in my bag. It's my cousin's, it's not mine. Big poop storm. Those are the kinds of things that can happen down the stretch. They all respected Bill. They all thought well of Bill. Bill had a much more cogent, competent coaching staff in 2000 than Gerard does now. So are guys going to act out over the last 8 weeks? How do you keep them harnessed, engaged, and understanding? And this was great, too, from McCourty. He goes, look, 30% of the roster is probably going to turn over because no team is going to play like this and then come back the next year and say, we're just running it back with the same guys. So guys are going to be self-seeking. Guys are going to be concerned about their own situations. And I don't know how well Mayo will do keeping guys on task. It's a bad team, and they don't have a lot to play for. And it's not even Thanksgiving. So, it's a challenge.
Yay. This is kind of a goofy question that I have for you, because I was thinking about you saying last week in the post game on NBC Sports Boston that this is the kind of game that gets kids out to buy the jersey, or the game last week, because of the way that Drake May played. You can go out and buy a Drake May jersey. Chime bought his Drake May jersey, I think, as soon as he was drafted.
The night he was drafted.
The night he was drafted.
Oh, on this.
How long do you wait? Not even you personally, but do you advise someone to wait? And this might be something I'm reckoning with in my own personal life with my team. How long do you wait before you buy the rookie quarterback jersey?
I would buy it now. I would buy that. I think it's a good time to buy because you've now had demonstrated to you that he's young, he's smart, he's tough, he's talented, he's got a strong arm, he's not a dink. He can carry the team in a way that very few young quarterbacks can do, and he's smart enough to improve to a point where he doesn't physically have to carry them week in and week out. He's going to be able to carry them mentally in his decision-making. So to me, again, I will continue to be a proponent for trading down because Drake May isn't the only quarterback on the planet. And they could have done a lot elsewhere and then plopped a quarterback in. But the decision that they made to take May, not just a quarterback, which seemed to be their intention, to take May has worked out perfectly for them. Serendipity, if you ask me. But buy the jersey.
All right, very good. By the way, Chris Scheim just took off his shirt. He has a Drake May jersey tattooed on his body. I thought that was a little extreme, but he's that much of a believer. So there you go. Tommy Curran, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right,
thanks,
that is the great Tommy Curran. You can check him out on NBC Sports Boston, pre- and post-game and halftime as well. He's there for the duration. Can't miss him, and there you go. All right, here's Chris Scheim, who did not get a Drake May jersey tattooed on his body, nor did he remember.
Might have the
shirt.
UNC one tattooed somewhere.
Oh,
you don't
really?
Know.
Okay, well, let's all guess where after he tells us what's true.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday. WEEI Football Sunday, and joining us right now on the hotline, live from the tailgate, it's an away game, but that doesn't stop our own Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is right now in Chicago at Soldiers Field at the tailgate, probably surrounded by a bunch of wackos. What's up, Fitzy?
It doesn't get more authentic than this. Christian Arkent, Megan Adelaney, Christopher Scheim, how are you guys? I am currently in the south lot outside of Soldier Field, surrounded by Williams jerseys, Matt Forte's, Walter Payton's, and, of course, Caleb Williams. It's nothing but cheese, meat, smoke, and Bears fans. And I'm going to tell you what, coming to you from the porta potty lot in the south lot, it doesn't get more authentically Chicago than this. What a freaking scene this is, man. What a day for football.
Very good. It sounds like a real scene. We've talked with some Chicago fans over the course of the week, some Chicago people, Fitzy, and they all seem to be very, very, I don't know if down on the team is the right word, but they're certainly right on the edge, and I think a loss to the Patriots is going to send them over the edge. Do you get that impression?
Hold on. The answer to that is yes, and we're hanging with, I'm bringing my son to his first ever game. His best buddy is going to, they're from Chicago, and my buddy as well, and they all echo the same sentiments. It's probably going to be Waldron first and then Aberfutz afterwards because nobody likes that guy around here as well. I just wanted you to know that while we were talking, Arkan, and you were asking me that question, I found a tailgate that has, I'm literally staring at 107 different bottles of bourbon and whiskey, and I just want everyone to know, my heart belongs in New England, but if I die, this is exactly where I need to go today. Holy smokes, do these people know how to party.
Okay, be safe. Be safe out there, Fitzy.
I can't. Mego, I know you always try to talk me off the ledge or save me for myself, but you know I can't help but be my own best friend, the life of the party, and my own worst enemy as well. Now, back to Arkan's question. Yes, people around here for a 4-4 team, that has a load of offensive talent and should have the sky being next to nothing but the limit, they're super down on the team right now because the way that they went about it in the offseason, and we talked about this on the postgame show, on Saturday shows, and on the Six Rings podcast, they did everything that I think we thought we wanted the Patriots to do. They got young tackles. They went and got a veteran receiver who's a clinical surgical route runner in Keenan Allen. They surrounded the young rookie quarterback with weapons and assets galore. DeAndre Swift, they drafted Rome Odunze. What did we get? We got Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, who can't even see the field. So I think what they thought was they would have an accelerated timeline of expectations, and they're not delivering right now. Their big issues are, one, obviously, that disastrous loss that you love, Mego, the Hail Maryland, and two, you know, it's kind of what Alex Van Pelt was talking about this week. Stop looking for the big plays and take the profit. Caleb Williams is a natural-born playmaker with athletic ability out the wazoodles, but he's not taking the profit. He's not looking for the checkdown. He's not looking for the small plays to paper cut their way to points. He's looking for the big plays, and unfortunately, it's just not all connecting right now. And so there's a little bit of discord in a fan base that thought they were going to be ready for at least like a wild card caliber team this year.
So on that note, Fitzy, as you've been out there this weekend, what sense do you have of how much the Bears fan base has embraced Caleb Williams compared to how high New England fans are on Drake May, even though Drake May hasn't really won a game for them yet?
Oh, Mego, somebody is slicing a 5-pound pork roast right next to me right now.
I hope that's not a euphemism.
No.
No, it's not. That's not code for anything, by the way. That's not a Chicagoism, everybody. You know, they love him. They love him. They have taken in the weird. They love the fact that, like, you know, he's all about Go Bears, and he says Da Bears at the end of every one of his pressers. They love him. He's been thoroughly embraced and beloved out this way. But I think, again, what's hurting them is the idea that they don't see the results they thought they should be seeing now. Like, they were 4-2. Things were starting to cook. He was developing a quick connection with DJ Moore. Then all of a sudden, Hail Maryland, and then last week's inexplicably terrible loss, where it was a veritable no-show by the Bears against the Cardinals, has kind of thrown everybody for a loop, whereas, like, you know, our timeline is very different from theirs. And the fact that Drake May, even in the face of defeat, gives us highlights like the 12-second runaround on the Music City Miracle 2.0 last week, they love their Caleb Williams. It's just that they feel like they should be getting more highlights, more victory, and more ROI, whereas we know it's Drake May and then the other 52.
Well, speaking of Drake May, Fitzy, what do you expect from him today against an elite Bears defense?
The biggest problem is, you can go ahead of me, buddy. I'm letting people literally ahead of me in the bathroom line go, Shime, as my answer.
Appreciate you. Dedication to the game.
Buddy, you know, buddy, I love Scram. I'd do anything for you. And that is actually pass up my turn in the porta potty line. After a couple old fouls.
Thanks for not taking us in there with you, too, by the way. That would have been weird.
No, do you guys want to fix this? Hey, have you guys heard the EEI show? They have this guy call in from local porta potties in the Midwest.
What do I expect
from Drake May? I don't expect the same kind of, like, obviously he struggled last week because they couldn't get the run game going. But everything I've heard from the Bears fans I've chatted up to and including dinner last night at the world-famous Lou Malnati's, the Bears' run defense is a little bit suspect. And also, I think Jaquan Brisker, I know inactives are coming out momentarily, but their best safety may be out today. It's a gnarly defense. I would expect him to have to struggle and use his feet more again today. And if Ramondre is going to get on track, it's either going to be today or it's not going to be the rest of the season. And the Bears' offensive line struggle. Did you guys know, as much as the Patriots have trouble protecting Drake May, the Bears are on track to give up 63 sacks of Caleb Williams, which would be the sixth most in NFL history. Like, that's way bad. They have offensive line issues galore as well. It's just that things look a little, you know what it is, the outside of their car looks a little sexier than ours does right now, but I think Drake doesn't go for over like 2.25 today, Shime. I would look for him to use his feet more than his arm today.
All right. Before we let you go here, Fitzy, two things. One, you can hear Fitzy after the game on the Six Rings postgame show, where he does an impression of me every single time now. Which, by the way, Fitzy, I've been working on my impression of you. It sounds like Dennis Miller when I do it right now, so I'm not going to do it on the air. I'm working on it. But your impression of me is pretty good. People don't usually do impressions of me, but yours is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, people usually don't do impressions of me, Arcade, and that's the funny thing. But I really appreciate you. 617-779-7937 as well.
Pretty good.
As I told Shyman Hart last week, the way to do an Arcand is just imagine an angry, drunk Harrison Ford. I didn't kill my wife.
That's pretty good. That's very accurate, I would say.
That's a compliment.
I think it's a compliment, too.
It belongs in a museum. Marion, don't look. Marion, don't look.
Okay, so we always do Jersey Watch with you when you're at Gillette. What's the Jersey situation at Soldiers Field?
It's awesome. It is, like I said, so it's a mix of Ditkas. There's a guy who just walked out of the Whiz Banger with an 89
Bill Swirsky and all those guys, yeah.
Well. Right. Are you ready for this? The number one Patriots jersey I've seen five of them, and I got invited into a tailgate as well, hosted by all these dudes wearing Sony Michelles.
What?
I have no idea what happened when the 26ers decided to invade the Midway six, 7 years ago. It's so bizarre. But it's a sea of Urlachers. I've seen a couple Forte, you know, like real meat and potatoes football players. A lot of Walter Paytons, a couple of Caleb Williams, two or three Cole Kmets. But I will say this, as far as like for Patriots fans on the road, if you have like a bucket list of places you've wanted to visit, cities don't get cooler. The food does not get better. The fan base more ingratiating. This needs to be like a top five for you guys. Just from the city to the stadium, the environment as well. This is an absolute banger. I love the Windy City to pieces, man. It's awesome. And now we're T-minus an hour and a half from the Pats against the Bears, and I can't wait.
All right. Sounds like a good time. Fitzy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Arkin, I can't wait to talk to you later on. Go Pat.
Right.
See you, Fitzy.
It's Nick Fitzy Stevens, who will be on the Six Rings postgame show today with John Lyons. He won't be on the Six Rings postgame. It's Andy Hart and John Lyons. Fitzy won't be doing it because Fitzy's out partying in Chicago. He'll be hip deep in a Giordano's deep dish pizza by then. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got inactives coming out momentarily here.
We have the Bears inactives.
Okay, let's hear the Bears inactives there, Sean.
Bears inactives for you today. Jaquan Brisker, the defensive back safety that Fitzy had mentioned, Noah Sewell, Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, Amir Speed, Daryl Taylor, Nate Davis, and Kieran Amagaji.
Amir Speed was on the Patriots, wasn't he? Didn't they draft Amir Speed?
I believe so, yeah. Defensive back.
Yeah. Okay.
We also have wide receivers warming up for the Patriots.
Oh, do we?
Is that for the wide receivers?
I think it's just
for the inactives normally.
I think it's the inactives in general. I don't know if the Patriots are been released yet. I haven't seen them. What wide receivers are warming up?
According to Mark Daniels of Mass Live, wide receivers warming up right now include Javon Baker, Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Kayshawn Booty, and KJ Osborne.
Watch out, Chicago.
So it's literally all of them except Tyquan Thornton. Nice. Nailed it.
Okay.
Cool.
But leading with Javon Baker and Jalen Polk, I think, is interesting.
Get KJ Osborne off my field. What are we doing with this guy?
I don't know.
He's the worst.
I think they've tried.
So not even the best guy named
Kendrick.
Just
cut him. Like, you don't need seven receivers on your roster.
You really don't. I know. There's so many of them. That's so funny. Like, I heard someone called in this week, and they were like, you know, the Patriots really need depth. And it's like, no, they don't. They don't need depth. They need talent. They have plenty of depth. They have no talent at all.
They have plenty of guys.
Right.
Like, there are guys in the room.
You could use depth at, like, running back, but, like, not at receiver. You have plenty of receivers in the building. Feel free to cut one of them. We don't need them all.
Oh, my God. I just saw a very funny video from Munich. Someone was on the Jumbotron, a German gentleman, I would imagine. Maybe not. Maybe it was an expatriate out there. Somebody at the Germany game on the Jumbotron chugs his beer, couldn't finish it.
Coward.
I mean, in Germany, of all places.
What are we doing? That's also the same place where when
you go to Germany, you can't finish your beer. What is this?
This is also the same place when you go to a soccer game, you can get like the little carrying case of like six beers when you go up to the concession stand and you come back, you have all your beers, you're good to go. How can
they not
finish
one? They
don't
have one of those little German barmaids with carrying like 12 of them at the same time.
No Lederhosen in this place.
That's too bad. They should have that. If you're going to a game in Germany,
they should lean into that.
They should definitely.
It's only during Oktoberfest.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's November.
Barely November.
NFL November Fest. Bring those girls back and put those outfits on.
NFL November Fest.
Jim is in
put
Weymouth.
Put them on the boys, too.
Absolutely, on the boys, too.
True.
Jim is in Weymouth. Go ahead, Jim.
How you doing this morning, guys?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Just wondering with Ramondre's struggles, how much of it is the offensive line? How much of it is that he might not be right yet from that foot injury?
Well, I tend to think that as much as Ramondre Stevenson was tabbed as the centerpiece of this offense, and as good as he's looked at times this year, and it's been rare, but I'm not really sold on the whole Rhamondre. I didn't like that extension for him.
I thought
last year he really fell off a lot. And I just think that running backs in general have very short shelf lives. And you know who understood that very well? Bill Belichick. It went from Sony Michel to Damian Harris to Rhamondre Stevenson. Bang, bang, bang. Had a guy, the next guy ready to come in and take over when he needed to. And I feel like they haven't done that now with Stevenson. Gibson's not that guy. Hasty's not that guy. And the two other, Pierre Strong's long gone. And the other kid can't get off the practice squad. So it's like, you know, like you haven't, I don't think the run game is supposed going to be a major thing here in the next couple of years as they rebuild, but they didn't do what Bill used to do, which was always have that next running back ready, that next bell cow back, whether or not you liked them or liked the way that they were used. They were always there. They were always waiting in the wings, and there's nobody
especially
there
when you're a bad team. You don't pay running backs. Look at what the Giants did. They let Saquon go. They find a guy like Tyrone Tracy, who's awesome in the fifth round, and you're paying him pennies on the dollar. Like, it's just, it's silly. We have Patriots and actives, though, if you'd like.
All right, hit me with them.
All right, here we go. Patriots and actives. Tyquan Thornton, Joe Milton, Kyle Duggar, Christian Ellis, Tyrese Robinson, Eric Johnson, and Yannick Ngakoue.
Oh, we hardly knew ye, Yannick. just signed him this week. I knew he was going to be an active. We already knew
Assumed, right? So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's no surprise there. Tyquan Thornton, healthy scratch, right? He wasn't on the injury report this week.
Kyle Duggar, unfortunately, still inactive.
Duggar, I'm wondering if they... You know, like with this, eventually on a team like this, a guy who they just signed an extension to.
Just shelf him for the most part,
right?
You think?
That's kind of wild.
Is it?
If they did that. I think that would be really,
whatever this is
really
keeping him out for a month
poor
now,
plan
right?
I mean,
this
that's part of the
it's
plan.
An ankle injury.
It's
so.
It's a month long ankle injury. Usually, ankle injuries are a couple weeks. Like this, I don't know. This has me a little worried here with Duggar. And not that I think he's the be all end all or whatever.
No,
but he's one of your better defensive players.
I mean, he's the only safety you have left at this point. And instead, you're playing Del Pettis and Jalen Hawkins.
Right.
So
Del Pettis has been all right.
Yeah, they've been okay. I don't get me wrong; they haven't been terrible.
Put some respect on one of the only other rookies who's performing a little bit.
What'd you guys think of the Ngakoue signing?
Okay. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I saw that and
so
I was like,
marginal.
Why? Why are you doing
it's
this?
It's so marginal. To me, it's like moving Uche. Finally got that at the end. It's these marginal moves that don't really mean anything for this team. It doesn't change anything.
I know. And he's sat for so long. Like, you know, he's one of those guys whose name just kind of keeps pot. Like, Clowney was one of those guys, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you see him out there in the free agent list. No one signs him.
And, like, why
you
now?
You kind of wonder what's going on. And then, yeah, eventually some team gets desperate and throws some money at him or something. But with Ngakoue, that didn't even happen. And he's been traded, like, a million times, too.
Also, when you look at the Patriots and actives, it's not like you've lost a bunch of your pass rushers. It's really just Christian Barmer, who, by the way, has been out the entire season. So why now are you adding Yannick Ngakoue? It's kind of, I don't know. It's just, it's irrelevant. It's a move bad teams make.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that. And I think that out of all the potential free agents who are still available in November of this year, he's probably the best. But, like, you know, like, it's sort of a,
yeah, but
who
the
else
best
even
of
is there?
What
yeah.
group?
Exactly. Like, who else is even out there that would get signed right now? There
it's
was
a land of misfit toys for
like
him.
Bakhtiari or somebody, like, right? Like, yeah. he was still out there. Injury concerns with him. I don't know if that's the case with Ngakoue, if that's why he was out. He's injured right now, so he won't be playing in this game today. The Patriots' pass rush, I think, has been low-key one of the most disappointing parts of the entire team this season, because I wasn't expecting them to go out there and be, you know, the Broncos in 2015 or anything like that, but I was expecting them. I was expecting Keon White and Dietrich Wise and Uche before he got traded. And most of these guys, you know, Godchild, like, I expected them to make more of an impact, and they're not doing that.
I think overall, most of us were confident enough in the pass rush that when they traded Matthew Judon, we were like, okay, it's a smart move. He wants more money, and he's not a piece for the long-term future, so it makes sense, and they'll be okay with Adam. And instead, they don't generate any pressure against most of these quarterbacks, and there's no containment. I think it's very frustrating
I feel like I'm just making excuses, but I feel like the lack of Christian Barmore makes a really big difference because he just...
I'm sure it does.
He attracts so much attention, which would free up Keon White in a lot of other scenarios, right? Like, Barmore attracts so many double teams in the interior that he just allows other guys to have success while creating pressure himself on the interior, and I think that is such a big thing because what Barmore gives you is, you know, 10 times as good as what Daniel Aquale is giving you next to Devon Godshaw. And so I think that is a massive piece to this.
You had Trevor Lawrence, who I don't think even had to wash his jersey after that game. I mean, he was completely clean out there in Europe. You had Mason Rudolph, who I think they sacked once. You know, like these are not good. These are not good offenses. These aren't the type of offensive lines like the Chiefs have or somebody where you're like, oh, and yeah, I mean, well, how are you going to get through that?
Regardless how the rest of New York's season goes, the Jets, like, I can't stop seeing visions of Aaron Rodgers running around in that Thursday night game as if he was 27 years old again.
Brock Purdy dancing in your face. Like, you know what I mean? It's been going on all year. And that, to me, listen, I expected the offense to struggle. I expected a lot of problems with this team. I expected the defense even to take a bit of a step back, but I didn't expect them to be this ineffective. And you have some guys who can play in that secondary. I still think that Jones and Gonzalez are a good cornerback combo, but you can't have them cover forever. I mean, no. You know, like, it's just, it's not going to work that way. And they've really felt the, I think it's reflected, not in Gonzalez so much, but in Jones and even Marcus Jones. You're seeing these guys look like they're a step behind, and maybe sometimes they are, but a lot of times these quarterbacks have all flipping day, and it's like, well, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's going to make these guys in the back end look not as effective as they are. Not Gonzalez, he's still been good, but the rest of them, they're all feeling the heat from this. This is a team-wide thing.
Well, and even in the pressure from the back end, losing Jabril Peppers, not having Kyle Duggar out there, you're losing a lot of that kind of second level physicality and just intensity that those guys bring to the field, where you can say, like, that's kind of a soft way to look at it. But I do think it makes a difference in the pressure that they're able to generate at different levels.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times have they had to switch the play caller on the defense? Like, with the guy, I mean, it just putting the green dot on, what, four or five different guys throughout the course of the season due to injuries? I think you're right. I think you lose a lot of intensity from Juwan Bentley, Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar. Like, those were your veterans. They were the leaders in communication on the field. They got you in the right position a lot of the times. And I think you've seen the result of that with the failings in the run defense. Like, it's just, there's not as much communication. I mean, Bill Belichick should be noted as the greatest of all time just for making Jelani Tavai look like a reasonable linebacker in the NFL. Because without him, I mean, Jelani Tavai has been the third worst linebacker in pass coverage in all of football. Like, that's awful. And he has been really bad a lot of the time this year. And so you have just struggled across the board, and you're missing a lot of those big pieces on defense.
Yep, you certainly are. Once again, you're inactive for the Patriots. Tyquan Thornton, Joe Milton, Kyle Duggar, Christian Ellis, Tyrese Robinson, Eric Johnson, and the new guy, Yannick Ngakoue. Evan Lazar over at Patriots.com, who is making lots of friends this season, said that one line combination you can see for the offense against the Bears is Vedarian Lowe at left tackle, Onwenu at left guard, which you just heard Curran talking about. They said they're going to move him there this week. Ben Brown at center, Laydon Robinson, your right guard, and Demontre Jacobs at right tackle. That's, again, I mean, this is where we are. This is what it is. This is how you're going to have to go out there and do it.
To Onwenu in the locker room, he did not sound thrilled about getting moved over there again. And the last time that he even practiced there before this week was in 2021. And when we asked him, like, how'd you feel about how it went in 2021? He was like, not very good.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, if you're going to have him play guard anyways, just have him play right guard where he's more comfortable.
Right.
What are we doing? Like, you're just making your player more uncomfortable by putting him in a position he doesn't want to be in and doesn't feel comfortable in. And it's just bad coaching. This is bad coaching, bad management across the board.
Yeah, I'd rather the rookie moved over. You know, like, if he's uncomfortable, well, okay, he's still learning how to play. Like, we don't know if he can even go. And Laydon Robinson's not been good this year. I mean, he's a young kid, and I don't know what my expectations were for him anyway. I think they were maybe a little higher than they've been so far. And Demontre Jacobs is a waiver guy who, you know, might not
be. All these guys are waiver guys.
Outside of a practice squad right now. So here we go. I mean, this is it. This is who you're going to war with week in and week out for your quarterback, your rookie quarterback, Drake May. 617-779-7937. We have open phone lines if you'd like to chime in now that you know who the inactives are. And when we return, we'll get the keys to the game from our own Jermaine Wiggins. WEEI Football Sunday, Christian Arcan, Mego, Shime Time, all in studio here with me. Jermaine Wiggins is not here in studio with us, but that does not stop him from delivering the keys each and every week, except when he doesn't. And here is key number one in week number 10 here from Wiggy.
Your boy Wiggy here. Let me give you my three keys to victory today. Number one, keep Caleb Williams in the pocket. Do not let him extend plays and make plays with his legs. That will beat you in today's game.
I think that's a good key. I'm glad he led with that one because that's an important part of this and something that the Patriots do not do very well. They don't set the edge well. They haven't done it all year. Uche, I think, is part of the reason he got traded because he couldn't set the edge. Keon White's not been good at setting the edge. I'd say the best guy you have on the team at it is either Wise or maybe Anthony Jennings, one of those two guys. And they're not great players, but they can do that one thing pretty well. You're going to have to do that today. Absolutely. You're not going to let him extend these plays, let these wide receivers run all over your secondary, make them cover forever, which always ends the same way. I mean, we've been watching this all year long. I think that's an important key, and that's something that they have to really emphasize this week. I'll see if they do it. They haven't done it yet. They haven't done it all season, so I'd be happy to see it this week.
How refreshing would it be? We talk so much about the offense and Drake, and can they get the running game going? How refreshing would it be to see them sack Caleb Williams like three times today?
That'd be great.
To see them, to see this defense just absolutely overwhelm him. Like, I think that would be an incredible spark for this team when you're talking about sense of urgency. That would be one area where I agree with Wiggy. It would just be refreshing.
It would just be nice to see a spark from any portion of your team that's not the quarterback. And so if you get that out of your defense, I would be thrilled about that today.
Yeah, and setting the edge, I mean, I know he's talking about Williams there, but in the run game too. I mean, part of the reason you get run over so much each and every week is because guys get to the outside, you overshoot the pot, whatever it is, and they end up running right through the hole that's left there and picking up first downs, or sometimes they'll just run right up the middle. But either way, yes, setting the edge and trying to contain these quarterbacks and these running backs and everybody in the run game is something that this team has had a whale of a time trying to do this season. I'd like to see them turn it around. Today's as good a day to start as any. You get a team that gives up a million sacks. So go out there and hit that guy and maybe force some turnovers. That'd be nice to see, too. What's key number two?
Number two, put Drake May on the move. I'd like to see some more play action with him. I'd like to see some bootlegs, opportunities for him to get outside the pocket and throw the football.
Well, don't worry about it, Wiggy. He's probably going to be getting outside that pocket and throwing the football or running or just taking off and running, which, again, Mayo said this week, we're not designing any runs for him. He just came out of concussion protocol. We're not going to design runs. That doesn't mean he's not going to run. He's going to run. He's going to be out there running. This is a team that can pressure the quarterback, unlike your defense. The Bears can do that, and they do have a good pass defense. So I expect to see him moving. I don't think it's going to be designed bootlegs or anything like that.
But
it's going to be
right.
More of the same.
They just kind of happen.
Right.
When Drake does get on those play-action bootlegs, though, like, that's when he looks his best. When it's a designed rollout and he's making a half-field read, like, that's when he is at his best. Granted, the receivers don't always catch it, Tyquan Thornton, but, like,
hey,
that
he's
is...
he's not playing today.
You don't have to worry about him, though.
Oh, thank God. But that is when Drake has looked excellent, and so, like, I think that should be incorporated more often.
Why do you think they're not, then?
Because that's just not how Alex Van Pelt runs his offense. And I think they are so firmly entrenched in the idea that you have to run the football in order to run play action, which isn't true. Josh McDaniels showed you that. He proved that to you. But yet they are like, well, we can't run the football, so we can't run play action. And they just almost like scrap the entire thing.
Yeah, it's been a problem, I would say. Not week one so much, but since then, really, you know, after that week one, and I feel like against Seattle, they ran the ball pretty well. And other than that, there's been no fear of play action. There's no reason to stack up and say, okay, here comes the run. Better watch out for that run, guys. It doesn't matter. They don't have to stack the box to stop the run. They stop the run just by showing up. Teams show up and they stop the Patriots' run game. It's unfortunate. I think that May extending play, it's different from running. I guess we're talking about two different things here. Like,
yep,
extending a play and getting outside and throwing a long pass, like, that's all fine. I have no problem with that. But when it comes to, like, bootlegs where you're running, you don't see anybody out there, so you got to take off and run, you're going to be seeing that again today. And I just wonder if the Bears are going to be the team, or maybe it'll be somebody else. You know, there's a lot more games left in the schedule here. I wonder if the Bears are going to be that first team that says, hey, make sure no matter what, we got one guy in the field at all times who's got eyes on number 10. And if he takes off, you hit him. And that's it. And we're not going to let him beat us that way. And you try and beat us some other way, because I don't think they can not only not beat him any other way, I don't know that they can execute any other way. I don't know that there's anything else in this offensive bag that they have to throw at the Chicago
Bears. Only hope would be to get the running game going for themselves, because I don't think that you're going to have a ton of success. Not just because of the way that the wide receivers have not been executing, but it's a pretty good passing defense. So I think it'll be tough to find another way to even stay in this game, let alone win it.
By the way, it's official. Trevor Lawrence is out. Mac Jones will be starting today.
Wow.
We'll have more thoughts on that a little bit later on when we make our
Mac
picks.
Renaissance.
I'm excited. I'm excited. Let's get to key number three.
Third thing is we got to see the Patriots win the turnover battles defensively, create turnovers, force fumbles, interception. Do those three things today, and you'll walk away with a W.
All right. That's Coach Wiggy with his keys to the game. Winning the turnover battles, one that I think we all agree with Patriots need to do. They've I'm a little worried about this last one more so than even the first two. I think May's going to get out, and then he's going to bootleg and run and do all that stuff. I think that's fine. I even think they'll be able to get to Caleb Williams. I don't know about this turnover stuff.
Well, on the defensive side, DeMarcus Covington talked to us this week, and he was talking about how they focus on trying to scout out guys who are, quote, disrespectful as ball carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so I don't understand. Is this a disconnect in the execution? Like, do you just not have guys outside of, I don't know, maybe Marcus Jones and Gonzalez sometimes? Like, Gonzalez isn't a ball hawk. But
what do you mean
he
disrespectful as a ball carrier?
Disrespectful
like
as
Shady McCoy running with it out
exactly,
in one hand or whatever?
Carrying it like a loaf of bread.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so if you're doing this work behind the scenes and that's what you preach, like, why can't we just see the execution of it in a more consistent way defensively? You just don't.
I also think, too, if they are able to get pressure on Caleb Williams, the turnover thing could just happen. Like,
right.
It's one of those things where if you duress Caleb, if you put him under duress, he's going to make some ill-advised throws. He's going to be a risk to fumble the football. And so those turnovers might just happen if you get the pressure. So I think they're kind of, to me, at least one in the same general pocket.
One of them has to happen for the other. I agree with you there. But to win the battle...
Yeah.
Drake has to cut down on his turnovers.
You got Mac on the brain now that you know
do.
That he's playing.
And now I know he's playing. That's all I can think about. He has to cut that. Drake May does. And Mac Jones does, too, for that matter. But Drake May absolutely has to cut down on his turnovers. It was a bad week for him last week. That first interception was terrible. The strip sack, I thought, you have to have better understanding of where the rush is. And we disagree, but I didn't care much for that last interception either. I thought that was an underthrown ball. And, you know, maybe it was the wind, maybe it was something else, but it ended up being the end of the game, you know. And this is, we talked about this earlier, Mego's polar coaster, about your opinion changing on Drake May if he wins games or doesn't win games going down the stretch. You may not be all that upset if he loses games, but don't tell me your opinion's not going to change if he won that game against Tennessee or if he leads game-winning touchdown drives this week or in any weeks coming up from here. I know your opinion will change. My opinion will change. It'd be crazy if it didn't. He's played three games, and he's been fine. He hasn't won any of them. If he can go out there and show that he's a winner, your opinion's not going to change. Of course it is. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got some phone calls to get to here in just a minute. We will reset on the main stories of the day. Mike Reese has some interesting info on the Tom Brady statue, which we'll get to as well. That's all coming up in the final hour.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.